Today is the church's birthday. Today we celebrate the season of Pentecost. Before we have the Bible reading, I wanted to just play a little video clip that explains all about Pentecost. But the best of the video clips that I was able to find was one produced by the Roman Catholic Church. And I just mentioned that because in one just little sentence of this video clip, it mentions that the Catholic Church is celebrating today. Well, we are too. Now you know me well. You know all about Pentecost. It was there. Let me just trace the coming of the Holy Spirit in New Testament terms for a moment. If you've got your pew Bibles, the reference is the Gospel of John, chapter 20. That's at page 1075. And I'm reading from verse 19 in chapter 20. On the evening of that first day of the week, when the disciples were together, with the doors locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After this, he showed them his hands and his side. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. Again, Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." And with that he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone his sins, they are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven." So there is the reference to the disciples, those that were locked in the upper room, out of fear. Jesus comes among them on the evening of that first day of the week, on the day of resurrection. Jesus comes, stands among them, and breathes the Holy Spirit over them. is the Holy Spirit that he had spoken of earlier in the time in the upper room before his trial and before his crucifixion. He said that God was going to send a comforter. And here it is. It's to those people who were in fear. They were locked away. And Jesus says to them, here is peace. The peace that you need at this point of time in your lives. Here is peace. And it's for forgiveness. We don't know the full understanding of what it meant to those people in the upper room when Jesus said, receive the Holy Spirit and you are forgiven. But we know some of their stories. We know that Peter had denied Jesus 3 times and needed forgiveness. And we know a little later that Jesus has a one-on-one with him. And he has that sense of total forgiveness. But now we go forward 50 days. Because we go from the time, in Jewish terms, the time from the Passover to the day of harvest. The harvest festival was a week-long celebration, but it was called Pentecost. Because Pentecost meant the 50 days. And so we come 50 days further down the track to that incident in the upper room. And if you'd like to follow that, I would invite you to turn to the first part of the Acts of the Apostles, which will be at chapter 2, page 1078. And I'll read just the first couple of verses from chapter 2 of the Acts of the Apostles. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. So this is a much larger gathering, and it's also a gathering that is now without fear, because they have experienced the risen Christ. They are gathering together in joy. But that's not the end of this particular story. Those people have come from all over the place. They've come from around the Mediterranean region. Where have they come from? Well, look down at verse 9. There were Parthians, Medes, Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, and Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia, Egypt, and the parts of Libya near Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs. It's important for us to note that Luke identifies all of those groups of people for a reason. When he's writing down the book of Acts, he wants us to know. He wants the people of his time to know. He wants everybody to know that people had come from all over the place and were gathered there. And they experienced a miraculous event because the Holy Spirit came upon those people. And they witnessed the power of the Holy Spirit in their lives. Now, the Holy Spirit was witnessed by them being able to speak in different languages. That is one of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Peter tells the doubting observers that the people that are speaking like that were not drunk, because it was only 9 o'clock in the morning that this event took place. What an incredible day it was. The incredible birth of the church as we know it at that time. Now, what were the sorts of gifts that they received? Well, for that, let's turn through to the first letter to the Corinthians, chapter 12. Following in the Bible, it's 1136, page 1136. What were the gifts that people received when they received the Holy Spirit? For that, we'll look down at Paul's writings of 1 Corinthians chapter 12. We'll go down to verse 4. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but the same God who works all of them in all men. Now, to each one of the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. Notice that. When Jesus breathed upon the disciples in the upper room, those fearful disciples, they needed peace. Each one of them needed peace in their life for the events that had taken place and for the betrayals and the desertion that they had experienced. They needed peace. So for each one of them, Jesus gave them that peace. And then on the day of Pentecost, that entire crowd was given a variety of gifts. But not for the individual person. Not so that one individual could stand up and say, look at me, look at me. Ah, I saw it. But it was given for the common good. The gifts were given to be shared. Let's have a look a little closer. Verse 8. To one there was given through the Spirit the message of wisdom. To another the message of knowledge by the same Spirit. To another faith by the same Spirit. To another gifts of healing by that one Spirit. To another miraculous powers. To another prophecy. To another distinguishing between spirits, to another speaking in different kinds of tongues, and to still another the interpretation of tongues. And then Paul reminds us that all these are the work of the one and same Spirit, and he gives them to each one just as he determines. It is important that we acknowledge the fact that not everybody is given the same strength of the same gift of the Spirit. What a very black and white world it would be if everyone had the same gift in the same way at the same strength. Where would be the need to join together and cooperate and share if that were the case? But in the loving nature of God, in giving each person a gift of the Holy Spirit, we are given the opportunity of being individual. Because the gift is given to each one of us. Unlike a few moments ago when we celebrated the fact that we were all having a birthday today, when it's our own individual birthday, we're made feel special. We are special, each one of us, because the gift of life became apparent to the whole world the day that we were born. Our life. And we were meant to make a difference. So, individuality is a good thing. But the gifts of the Spirit is for the building up of the community. Now, a gift is great. I love getting gifts. But if someone ever gives me a gift, I don't just simply stand there holding it. I want to open it. I want to see what's in it. I want to see the look on the face of the person who's given it to me. Because to give the gift is one part of the act. To receive the gift is the other part of the act. Just as the way in which the person who has given the gift waits to see your reaction. Now, What does the Holy Spirit do with us? What does God, what does Jesus do with us when we are given the gift of the Holy Spirit? God waits for you and I. He waits for a response. And what sort of response does he look for? Well, he first of all looks that we accept. That we accept the free, gracious gift of God. But then, God waits for us to express that gift. And how do we do it? Well, let's go through with another passage from the writings of St. Paul. Let's find Galatians. Because in Paul's writing to the people of Galatia, in chapter 5 and verse 22, a passage that I hope is very familiar to all of you, because this is what God looks forward to seeing in you. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. So as we express the presence of the Holy Spirit in our life, that is what we do. That is the expression of the Holy Spirit in our life. That is the fruit of having the Holy Spirit in our life. And that is the challenge that we face. We share the Holy Spirit because it is for the common good. It's for the building up of the whole church. It's for the building up of each person within the church. We have differing gifts. We have differing abilities. But it's meant to be expressed corporately. And for us to show fruit in our life. So today, as we celebrate the day of Pentecost, the coming of the Holy Spirit in our life, may we be able to show that we have accepted that gift and we express our thanksgiving to God for the way in which we live our life by showing the fruit of the Spirit in our life to all people.